So that's the main driver of that. Some of the other costs there, there are many items that came that were previously funded with either ESSER funds or title or grant funds that are now rolled into the operating budget because the ESSER funds expire with this upcoming fiscal year. So some of those new ones were, the SY program was $650,000. Supplies and materials was another $520,000. So, but to what, to Mr. McGrath's point, typically what we do is whatever the salary allocation is, we will meet again and then go back to see what else could be reduced. My personal opinion is the transportation is a problematic issue. I just don't think the bus drivers are there. So I'm not sure that for a student would even be able to staff those 63 buses. So I think that would be an obvious line that we would have to look at and have more consultation with for a student. But I said at our meeting that I if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet that they would have those positions available.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council on the school budget? Any questions? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to first thank the school department for doing this review of the breakdown of the finances. And I'm just going to take a moment and just identify a few things and just quickly make a statement. If you look at this, total other purchase services, out-of-district tuitions is 12. Oh, this is found, I apologize, on the third physical page of the packet that they handed to us, where it says other purchase services included, for a total of $25.7 million. And transportation comes in at $12,245,000. We just heard that the superintendent director identify that the support from the state has been reduced on that. And out of district tuitions is again $12.7 million. Where we're paying other districts because our students are going there for specialized, whether it be through the vocational, mostly the vocational and other things that state law dictates that we have to do. And there was... And here we go. If we go to the second to last page, it's ESSER and unfunded mandates. I do want to point out where they have unfunded mandates, and I want to thank the administration and the committee for identifying these. DCYF placements is $350,000, so that means placements that a student will be removed from another, and I'm asking for clarification, can be removed from another district in the city and placed into Warwick for whatever means necessary.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So we absorb that. So in that situation, does the money follow a student?
No, it does not. No.
So it's because it's DCYF placement, that student now falls under DCYF in the city of Warwick. If that, whatever the student's placement is, we now absorb that cost of that student.
Correct.
No matter when that student comes into the district.
I believe so, correct.
Thank you. 24% increase in statewide new green curriculum. Is there someone that could answer to that, please? And if that's the new green curriculum, as far as the curriculum such as Savvis or through the internet, it is a full 100-based internet-based curriculum.
Yes, but they also have some workbooks too that go with it as well. So we have to order those every year. So we just replaced our ELA curriculum.
Yep.
We also replaced our math curriculum. And we're rewriting other curriculum too. So as you know, the green curriculum is approved by RIDE, and we also have to replace our science curriculum.
So this is another situation, and I'm looking for clarification, where RIDE comes up with an idea and trickles it down to the municipalities and says, isn't this great? They pat themselves on the back and say, now pay for it.
Correct. They give us choices of which curriculum we can purchase.
Which curriculums you must purchase.
Yeah, must. Yeah.
Yes. Which curriculums they tell you to purchase.
Correct.
Thank you. And the PSAT, SAT, and I want to make this clear to my colleagues, we no longer do NEAS test. Oh, I might be using the wrong acronym. There's 100 acronyms. The is it NEAS testing? What is the former proficiency testing we did?
Kneecap.
Thank you. I knew it was below the waist, but above the toes. So kneecap. They eliminated the kneecap testing. So now their new standard for judging students on their performance and their proficiency, not through following the data of detention or attendance, not by following the data of all their other curriculums, but they decide to place it on SAT and PSAT. They said, this is the key word. This is the new state formula to test the proficiency of our students. Go ahead, districts, you pay for it.
That's correct. And in the past, the parents would pay for the SAT or PSATs unless they were a needy family, and then we would pay it for them. But now we pay for all students to take those tests.
Per law, which is also recommended by RIDE.
Correct.
The Rhode Island Department of Education.
Correct.
And just to kind of go back, and I'm going to give two little history tidbits that I always find interesting. Though a lot of people we can debate back and forth, and I'm not going to get into the logistics of the pension system as we look at salaries, please understand, when the state passed the pension reform system, it basically said teachers now must work until they're 62 to 67 years old, mm-hmm. which means that we have, what percentage is it, step 10 teachers?
75%.
75% are top paid teachers because they're just riding along, because they are not eligible to retire per state law, and the burden falls on the municipalities. And the last bit to finish that up with, speaking about unfunded mandates, the state of Rhode Island instituted the state lottery. Why? To fund education. And here we are in the city of Warwick, and I think this is the most appropriate time to say it, while we're trying to figure out the administration and the school committee are trying to figure out how to pay, how to support, and how to educate our students, we are also, the burden falls on the municipality, the city of Warwick, to build the schools that only RIDE can approve, and only RIDE can request, and only RIDE can partially fund. So some years ago, we put forward all this millions of dollars to rehab our schools because RIDE said, you don't need new schools. We got the bonds, we started spending the money, and then we said, okay, release the second bond of the bonds, and RIDE said, no, build new schools. Correct?
Correct. Or we wouldn't have any reimbursement.
That's right. Otherwise, we won't have reimbursement. We are always at the grip of RIDE, and as we look at this budget, and as we're trying to finagle and figure out a way, it seems to be the common thorn in every municipality's side is federal and state. Say it with me, unfunded mandates. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. I knew when I saw that page of unfunded mandates that you would be talking about that. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I won't reiterate all that fury that my council member buddy here did. Luckily, I'm out from that madness. But can you tell us, you have it here, unfunded mandates, the SAT, PSAT. What is the cost of that?
Approximately $50,000. Approximately
$50,000?
$50,000. Correct.
And I, again, I've been out for a while. I'm a public school teacher. Last 30 years of my career, I was at Davies Career Tech, and I am no fan of RIDE. But does that have any bearing? I know it's used to test proficiency of our students, but does that have any bearing on their graduation?
No.
No. So we are made to perform these tests, and yet we, the schools cannot use that, and it judges proficiency, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And I mean that very sincerely, but it cannot be used in any way for graduation requirements.
Correct.
I'm done. We could be here all night talking about RIDE craziness. Yes, you have a question.
Councilman, I would just add that for K through 8, we use the RIDECast.
Right.
Which is we just bought Massachusetts test and adopted it K through 8. And the green curriculum that the superintendent spoke of, those are curriculums that are aligned to those standards. But yet when our kids get into high school, we're going to use the SAT and the PSAT, which may not necessarily be aligned to the standards you've been teaching them from K through 8. And my understanding is that was a simple financial decision on Ride's part because they didn't want to pay to buy the full MCAS. But it, I mean, I'm not, we're not crying a tale of woe here because every district's in the same boat, but it just doesn't make sense. You can spit across the border and get a world-class education system, yet we just want to copy parts of it,
right?
Which doesn't make sense to me. So
again, we can be here all night talking about Ride immunity.
Yeah. And one last one that's on there is this dual enrollment CCRI. So we want to encourage our kids to do their last year or so at CCRI so they can have college credits. While they're doing that, we're paying their tuition. When they graduate and go to CCRI, it's free.
They go for free.
So again, it's kind of an upside down world.
I don't want to my colleagues, this is what you deal with when you have to deal with Ride, because there is no rhyme or reason to it. And you have my full support on this. But again, I'm at a loss what can be done for this. My other situation is we talked about the green curriculum. And then earlier, Councilman Howe mentioned the acronyms, NEAS, NECAP, SCANS. I can go back. SCANS competency. All these that last for about 5 years, and then we start over again. And that's the frustration I'm glad I am not part of on a day-to-day basis anymore. You have my sincere best wishes, and I'm done with the questions. Thank you, sir.
Since Councilman Sinapi.
For the moment, I'm just going to content myself with revising my statement last year about Ride. I had said they're just profoundly ignorant and that they don't care. I actually think it's worse than that. As far as I'm concerned, their efforts are purposeful. They purposely do this. They want the public school system to go the way it has, and basically to force people to be more inclined to be open to school choice, which is where we see a lot of our money going towards, millions, in fact, because that's the only thing that makes all their actions make sense. Like, why so utterly fail in special education? Why constant unfunded mandates? Why have all these pathways and whatnot? All these things that blatantly screw over all the public students, other than the schools that had the luxury of being on top from the beginning, because they want it to fail. It's in their best interest to fail as far as what they want to achieve. And so anyone is welcome to quote me. You can send it right to Ride for all I give a crap. They do it on purpose. They want to screw over the majority of public school systems because they want school choice to be the norm. And they don't care how many kids get hurt in the process. They don't care how many municipalities get bent over a barrel because of it. They just, it's not what matters to them. What matters to them is their goal. And their goal is not the best interest of the students. Their goal is school choice and all the other bull crap they might want.
Thank you very much. And just a reminder from the solicitor that Ride is not on the agenda this evening, but thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Well, I understand that the school funding formula isn't necessarily on the agenda anyway, but I just wanted to take a moment to point out that Warwick has historically and continues to be dramatically underfunded by the state. It's very nice that they're increasing funding for Warwick schools at the state level under the state funding formula by, I believe it's around $4 million this year, but that still means that even this year, we are receiving less than one quarter of the funds for our schools from the state, right about one quarter or less than one quarter. While you take a look at Cranston, Cranston historically gets many millions of dollars more than Warwick. And that trend holds clear even when you adjust for the fact that Cranston does have more students in its public schools. You look one city north of Cranston to Providence. Why is it that Providence is getting two-thirds of their funding from the state and Warwick is getting one quarter? Is Providence really 2.5 times worse off than Warwick? Sure, Providence has some parts that aren't so great, not the strongest tax base. They need some help. Some parts of Warwick also could use a hand. But you know what? Providence also has the east side. Providence has some portions that have a very strong tax base, but here we are, where the state of Rhode Island is heavily subsidizing cities like Providence, along with some other cities, and not so much subsidizing Warwick. Subsidizing Warwick to a much lesser extent. So, on balance, our taxpayer dollars here in Warwick that are going up to the state are not coming back to Warwick at nearly the same rate. So, when I take a look at this budget in front of us, I would like to thank the mayor for proposing in his budget a significant increase in city side assistance to the school department this year, but I do still see that delta of $1.4 million or thereabouts. I'd also like to commend the school committee for taking that extra time, really doing its due diligence to hone in on some of these areas where can we cut costs, trim the fat without these severe impacts on the students that we all want to avoid. But here we are, and our job at the city council, and we're going to, I'm sure, see some amendments coming up on Thursday. And with that context, how do we figure out, as a city council, what we can do to make sure that the schools are properly funded without having onerous tax increases or making cuts on the city side that would be equally devastating to city services? There are certainly a lot of things that we can do in the long term, but we're not going to solve the long-term problems in one budget hearing. We're not renegotiating contracts or anything like that as part of these budget hearings. That's simply not what we can possibly do in a budget hearing. So we have to figure out, what can the city come up with in addition to this proposed amount? Or alternatively, what can the schools afford to cut? So while the school department is presenting, I would like to ask, a few years ago, maybe a couple of years ago, we were presented with a list where there was a much larger gap between the proposed budget and the budget that the school department was requesting. And working from that list, while the city council, we cannot control how the school committee, how the school department spends the money that is allocated. That's beyond our scope. But we did build a very positive relationship where trusting that money would be spent in the manner that was promised, we were able to, as a city council, be able to justify sending some additional funds to the school department in at least a couple of recent years. So I want to get a clear picture of what would it look like if we did not allocate the $1.4 million above the mayor's proposed budget.
We would have to go back before the school committee, and the school committee would go line by line and determine what items that they would want to pull out. We would probably put together a list as administration and present to them. I don't know, Dave, if you want to speak to that anymore, but that would most likely be the process.
Right. Typically, we would have to go through it again line by line, although most of the big things were already captured in the initial budget that resulted in what we have before us. There's always some areas that you can find again, but the concern is that you really start to get to things that impact students, right? You get into the beyond flesh and you're into a little bit of bone. you know, I'm hard pressed to come up with a list off the top of my head right now. That would be the superintendent and her team to go back again and maybe postpone another purchase and roll the dice and hope you can do it next year. You know, I couldn't give you a list right now, and I don't know off the top of my head. But to your point about the funding formula, RIPEC had a conference last week that I attended, and there are changes coming to the funding formula because it's been 10 or 12 years with no changes. And one of the possibilities is transportation might be rolled into some of the core amount that you get per student, which would definitely help every district. It would certainly help us. And some of the other things that were never captured before, they want to roll that in, like multi-language learners. I still have concerns that even changes to the funding formula could negatively impact Warwick because of the student populations they're trying to capture and roll in. We don't have significant portions of those, so it could impact us negatively, but that's how they'll work that out.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So I suppose that my follow-up request would be to put together a list of what would it look like if that 1.4 million wasn't there. And I'll just say my opinion on it is that we've often seen in these budgets where the items that can be cut are, as school committee Chair David Testa was indicating, rolling the dice on some of these necessary repairs, replacements, things like that. That's something where, for too many years, in my opinion, the city has been putting the school department in that position of having to roll the dice. Sometimes it works, but more often it puts us into the positions where we find ourselves where the delayed maintenance, delayed repairs, delayed replacements end up putting the schools in a worse position and the students suffer for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Council President. Okay.
Members of the council, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm more looking for just some clarifications on some things. With going back to fiscal year 2022, your actual budget, if I have the correct number here, was approximately $172 million. You are coming before us now requesting a budget of $187 million. Which represents a $15 million increase over 2 years. Is that correct?
I have $174 million for 22, so yeah, but yes.
So it's $13 million instead of $2 million.
Correct.
Okay. The salary increases have been $4.6 million, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Has the school department hired any staff, new staff, with using COVID money?
The ESSER funds were used to utilize for psychologists, math interventionists, and reading teachers, along with substitutes was a big chunk. But those chunk was the main that the COVID money was used for.
Correct.
So those wouldn't show up here. They end up on grant-funded budgets. And a large amount of them are returning back to the budget as the ESSER funds end.
So are any of those people still on the payroll?
Yes.
And that payroll was being met through COVID money?
In FY24? No.
No.
In the previous years, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So those people that remain on the payroll that were being paid through COVID money, essentially not taxpayer dollars. What have you done to prepare for the taxpayers now having to foot the bill for that. What have you done to reduce expenses related to that? Because what you've done is you've hired personnel with COVID money that is not sustainable, wasn't here in perpetuity, and you knew that. And you knew that if you were going to keep these staff members, that somebody has got to come up with the money to pay the bills, which is the taxpayers. So how did you plan to fund this without looking for more money from the taxpayers?
So going forward, so the FY24 budget does pick up a large chunk of them. There's only $1.5 million of ESSER money remaining in the FY24 budget. All the others was used in the previous years. In terms of sunsetting those jobs, I believe they're staying on because of student need, and it would be up to Superintendent Danbrook to review, she can jump in, to review the student need for those different psychologists and math interventionist positions. So I can jump in.
So as everyone knows, COVID has presented our students with some learning loss. So we're trying to accelerate learning by having after-school programs, adding math interventionists. We only had part-time math interventionists at schools. Now we have full-time math interventionists. We are seeing positive results in our scores. Our scores are going way up with this extra support. So I do think it's necessary and important to keep these positions.
And short of reaching out to the taxpayers, what has the school department done to restructure your makeup in order to be able to keep those obviously well-needed individuals on staff?
So we staff according to needs. So if you're asking me, did we cut other positions to keep these positions? The answer is, if we can, we staff according to needs. So if we see a decline in a certain grade, like for elementary, I believe we cut two classrooms. So we do make cuts when necessary, but also we do have an increase in special ed population, many more IEPs, so we have to hire special educators to fulfill those IEPs. IEP is a legal document, as you know.
But there's been no reduction in administrative salaries or benefits or even staff, for that matter. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay. So the monies that you received in OPERA, was that $1 million in, I just call it OPERA money, COVID money, call it whatever you want.
In FY23?
Uh-huh.
And that was not realized because the state aid came in higher. So the OPERA money was, I believe, held back, and the state aid money was used to fill in that gap. So we never actually used any OPERA money for 23.
So in 2023, you didn't have any OPERA money figured into your budget?
Correct.
Do you have OPERA money figured into your 2024 budget?
I just want to clarify, you're referring to APRA, which is the city side, or ESSER, which was our side? Because on the city side, APRA, we did not receive any. That $1.2 million of funding was held back by the city. And
on
then
your end, on your side?
We did not. We never received that money, correct, in
23. Did you receive OPERA money from anybody?
We received ESSER funding from the federal government, yes. Yep.
There you go. Okay. So that goes to Councilman Hall's acronyms. So I'm
that's
not
okay.
I'm not in
that's why I want to clarify to make sure we're on the same
and
page.
And what how much was that money?
In 23? Would have been approximately $7 million.
$7
million. Yes.
And that money does not have to be repaid?
Correct.
So a thought just comes to mind, and I don't know if it's an accurate thought or not. Would that be constituted as a structural deficit?
If we use the money to fund operations, it would be. But since the money was used to fund items like one-time expenses, like curriculum and potential for those positions that, you know, math interventionists aren't required, they're kind of, an accessory, if I'm speaking for them. So those would not be considered a structural deficit, in my opinion. We tried to use as much of that money in one-time expenses as we could to try and prevent the fiscal.
So when you had stated earlier that some of the new hires that you brought aboard were from what I call COVID money, you call it the E acronym monies. That monies that was used to staff those positions, would that monies, which is more than a one-time use, would that be considered a structural deficit?
If those were permanent positions that were required to be there, I would consider it a structural deficit. Those positions, and I don't want to speak for Superintendent Danbrook, they're there to help pull the district out of the COVID learning loss. So in theory, those positions could be eliminated, but they're seeing tremendous results from them and a lot of demand for the psychologists. So they, you know, in order to properly service the kids, they're being left in the budget.
So with that said, for all intents and purposes, those positions will remain. Certainly, correct. At least through 2024.
Correct. They're in so current
then,
budget.
Yes. Then there is a structural deficit in 2024.
No, they're not. They're not ESSER funded in 2024. We have $1.5 million. Yes. So there's $1.5 million of ESSER funding remaining that's in the 2024 budget. So those smaller positions, but not $7 million worth of positions, are a structural deficit.
No, the $1.5 million.
Correct. Yep.
That would be the structural deficit.
Correct.
And where does that show up in your budget?
The $1.5 million? Hmm. It's a reduction to salaries currently. Because it's going to, it's reducing.
It's listed in there?
It's in the overall number, the $95 million. It okay. includes a reduction for the ESSER funded positions.
It doesn't separate out that structural deficit. It's kind of rolled up into one number.
Correct.
Okay. Just bear with me while I'm making notes. So,
1 minute, Councilman.
This 2024 budget that you present to the City Council, does that include any anticipated raises in the upcoming contracts for the teachers in the WISE Union, which I think is in August? Did you want to speak to that? Is anything in this budget factored in for that?
No, it does not.
It's not.
Correct.
And
actually, I'm sorry, the WISE Union contract is in there, correct? Is
the WISE Union is?
Yes, because they're under contract currently. Their increase is in there.
All right. So what is it, in August when the teacher's contract comes up? And during the last contract negotiations, I seem to remember a number of about 3.3 million in increases. Do I have a correct recall on that?
0, 2.5, and 2.5 are over the 3 years of the contract. So overall, I was before my time, so I'm not sure what that ended up being. But it's approximately $1 million a percentage. So,
So we're pretty close when I say 3.3 million.
Yeah.
So that is not figured into the request that your school department is submitting to us for $187 million.
Correct.
So why wouldn't you figure
time's up, Councilman.
Something in there for raises?
Councilman, it was a judgment call, and talks hadn't begun yet, and whatever would populate that line item would just increase whatever we're asking you for here today. So it's six of one, half dozen of another. So if we added 2 million, we'd be here looking at a 3.4 million gap.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the difference is what you're asking for now to this council and to the taxpayers is different than what they could end up having for a bill. And I think if you're looking for the taxpayers to pick up the bill, which obviously you have to, then I think all the possibilities should be out there. It's inevitable that there's going to be a salary change with the upcoming contract. And I don't think it's fair not to make that known to the taxpayers that in addition to this, you could be looking at another 1.23, whatever the number is.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other questions from members of the council that haven't had an opportunity to speak yet? Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Director. I wanted to zoom in on the personnel component of the budget. I just had questions. There's in the administration and in the school administration breakdown of the FTEs. There's an additional one additional headcount in administration, which I think is two half-time or two half roles, as well as one in the school administration. Can you just go into the reasoning around the additional administration headcount?
I'm not sure which positions those are. I'd have to look at the supplement.
I could tell you. So on under administration, it is coordinator of competitive grants and attendance and discipline administrator.
So the coordinator of competitive grants is our grant writer for all our titles. That role is currently an assistant director role and is being converted into a different role. So it's a reduction of one role and then a smaller role that will partially be grant funded. And I'm not sure about the... Oh, that one is also grant funded as well, the second one you just read off. Yep.
Okay, so adding what accumulates to one headcount here, but the salary associated is covered by incoming grants?
I believe if we're talking about the same thing, yes. I know the first one for sure, yes.
All right, while I get to my next spot, you can be doubly sure.
I don't have my personnel. It's over there.
Do you have the personnel? I don't know if I brought it.
You all done?
Yeah, we just confirmed they're both grant funded.
Okay, great, thanks. And then under school administration, there's also one additional headcount, a coordinator, LEA, Early Learning Center.
Correct, that'll be for WELC. Yes. So the WERC Early Learning Center, we have to add a coordinator and the principal position. I think before it wasn't a principal position, but now it is. I don't know, Flynn, if you want to speak to that.
It doesn't appear that the principal position is... It doesn't have a name next to it currently.
It falls under the elementary principals. So the coordinator is an additional role at WELC. All right.
So Councilman Gephardt, we are adding the position of the coordinator. WELC it's a special ed preschool program for the most part. And there were so many IEPs that the administrator in the building was spending all day sitting in IEP meetings, determination meetings of eligibility for special services, and did not have time to be the principal of the building or the administrator and deal with discipline, safety, professional development. So we wanted to add that position, and they'll oversee IEP meetings, working with parents on testing and making sure we're in compliance with special education law.
Okay, thank you. One other question. So I think we understand and Councilman Lattice are covered the salary increases for the WISE and WTU positions. Are there increases across the board in the administration and the management roles?
No, they were pulled back when it went to school committee. So that whole chunk comes with it because the administrator increase is tied to the WERC Teachers Union.
By historical precedent?
I believe it's written into it's policy now. It's all the contracts are the administrators are tied to the. It's also historical. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Got it. So, but to Councilman Lattiser's point, there could actually be funds expended in this budget year for those increases. They're just not budgeted.
Correct.
Okay.
A possibility, yes.
That's all I have for now. And my microphone's red, so that's probably a bad sign. Thank you.
Yes. I don't care who answers the question. How many students do we have at this time?
I believe it's
8,700.
And how many teachers do we have?
It's approximately 900.
And how many schools?
How many schools? It's 13 elementaries, two middle, and two high.
Sorry, I didn't hear the whole thing.
And Welk. So that's, 19 total.
How many?
19.
Okay. I remember when we had 27. All right, thank you.
Any additional questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public on the school budget? Just come up to this podium right up here.
Hello, Darlene Netko, Ward 7. Homeowner, taxpayer, voter. I've been teaching in Warwick for 33 years, and I've been teaching overall for 35 years. And so when Mr. Howe brought up all of those issues about unfunded mandates and RIDE, it's something that I live every day. I mean, I can go back even further with the state test, NSREs, Terra Nova, MATs, D8, whatever. So many things to address. Maybe I think I'll start with, I wasn't going to say anything, but Mr. Lattiser brought it up, so I'm going to say something. This budget does not reflect any kind of increase in the WTU salary. Our contract is up in August. I don't want to negotiate in public, but it's been very distressing to not have made further progress at this point. And our administration put something into the budget and our school committee cut it out. So just to put that on the record. I want to refer to the printed budget for the city and some comments about the schools. Warwick Public Schools face many challenges, special needs. Yes, our school enrollment is going down, but our special ed enrollment is going up. Of those 8,700 students, about 1,900 of them have an IEP. And many are out of district in special programs throughout the state and sometimes out of state. And sometimes a program for one of these students can cost $100,000, $50,000, and that's just for one student. And obviously, the district is obligated to pay for that student's education. The administration mentioned the cost of transportation. The cost of transportation for special programs gone up 24%. The busing for one student, I learned at the school committee meeting for the budget hearings, $31,000 to bus one student. And that's not counting the busing to the pathways, which was mentioned earlier. $12 million going out of district. And suppose the student goes out of district and then decides to come back to Warwick. The money stays wherever it went, to a charter or mayoral academy or a pathway. Warwick gets the student back, but that other district or charter or mayoral academy keeps the money. If RIDE, and I do appreciate all the comments the city council made about RIDE, I share in your frustration with RIDE because RIDE is saying, go ahead, bus all around the state, go to all these pathways. RIDE should be funding that. RIDE should be funding anytime a student goes out of charter, but I think Mr. Sinapi hit it on the head when he mentioned that what RIDE really wants is school choice. Now, all of my comments here, I the point that also in here we talk about teacher shortages. Why is there a teacher shortage? Teachers are leaving and teachers aren't coming into the profession. Why aren't teachers coming into the profession? Because in some cases, the total lack of respect for what a teacher does in the classroom. And I appreciated earlier this evening when Mr. Howe talked about the need for funding healthcare and benefits and so on for every city employee, because all of our jobs are vital to this city. And the challenges we face in the classroom are only growing on a daily basis. And we are not going to be able to properly educate our students if we don't have the staff. This school department budget includes 3 new elementary special ed teachers because a previous administrator cut elementary resource positions. We need these positions. We need school psychologists, and we need social workers. We need classroom teachers, pre-K to 12 plus, because we educate students from pre-K to age 22 in the career center, in the regular classroom, and so on. And yes, the budget looks high, but our administration put out a budget that they justified at the budget meetings. And I would concur with what our administration put forward from the start and ask that you seriously consider funding what the superintendent has requested. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on the school's budget? Any other members of the public? Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to have a follow-up question that Councilwoman Chavez asked. So in fiscal year 2023, did you have an increase in student population?
A slight increase.
What's a slight increase?
I believe it was approximately 100 students, right? It wasn't huge.
And in 2022, did you have an increase?
We'd have to look at the enrollment data to look at that one. I don't have that in front of me. I don't think you.
We can get you that information and send it to you for the past 3 years. Is that what you'd like?
Okay, what I have here is an editorial on December 6, 2021. And I'm going to this point because you had mentioned, not you, but your colleague had mentioned that you have 8,700 students. I found that number surprising. And in this editorial on December 6, 2021, it's showing 8,140 students. So not quite sure how we got up to 86 or 8,700.
Yeah, that was an approximate figure, but we will give you we'll give you more. It fluctuates every year as well. People move in, people move out. We do attract students from other districts to our Career and Tech Center, and then we also lose to other districts, too, to charter schools. So I will get you that information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We are now moving to the animal shelter's budget. The animal shelter's budget is on page 24. We'll just give people a minute to file out. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council on the animal shelters budget, page 24? Are there any questions from Councilman Ricks?
I'd just like to thank the director of the shelter. Always runs a lean budget. I know that there's a lot of cost savings here through, pardon me, a lot of cost savings here through herself and other members of her department, as well as volunteers, and also cost savings through donations from the Friends of the Warwick Animal Shelter. So thank you, as always, for doing an excellent job with this budget.
Any additional questions or comments from members of the council on the animal shelters budget? Any questions from members of the public on the animal shelters budget? Okay, thank you very much, Director. Hearing none, we will now move on to the police department's budget. The police department's budget can be found on page 25. Good evening, Commander.
Good evening.
Commander, I was wondering if you could tell us about your staffing. Are you short? What's it look like? How's retirements? How's recruiting going?
Sure. We would obviously hope to be in a better position than we were last year. But unfortunately, we aren't. But luckily, we're about the same for personnel levels. On the sworn side, we currently have 5 vacancies. I know that sounds pretty good, but we still have numerous other officers that are out with other issues, as we have 5 out right now on military leave, 3 in the academy, 2 leave with no pay, 2 that are out sick, and 1 that is currently out OJI. That brings our actual operating number down to 157. We're supposed to have 175. Also, this should be noted that these numbers don't include the 5 officers that we know are going to retire in the upcoming months, 1 actually in about 2 weeks from now. And there's also about 6 to 8 other officers who have indicated to us that they're going to retire in this upcoming fiscal year. On the civilian side, we're actually doing pretty good. We only have 2 vacancies right now, 1 in dispatch, and that was because dispatch. Okay. One of our dispatchers had recently moved city departments, so we're trying to fill that spot. And we have 1 part-time custodian position that we still need to fill.
Okay, thank you. And recruiting, I know it's very difficult, not just in the city of Warwick, but nationwide to recruit police officers. I know you've recruited some officers from other departments, and then in turn, people are getting recruited, our officers as well. How is that, going?
Yeah, I mean, our recruitment efforts 24/7. We're recruiting every day. We go to every recruitment drive that's out there. The state's involved in a third party called Fit to Serve, where they do the physical agility and a written test. We respond to those testing assessments to try to see if we can get officers to come over here. As you mentioned, yeah, we're lucky that we do get lateral transfers. Because keep in mind, when we do have someone goes to the academy, that's basically a 5-month process. And then we're looking at another 3 to 4 months of training once they get out of the academy before they're even eligible to just be on their own on the road. So we're looking at almost, 10 to 12 months to actually fill a vacancy once we have it. So it's kind of a never-ending cycle of trying to, get back up to that 175 number because of the constant retirements that we're having.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the council on the police budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Good evening, Commander.
Good evening.
The question that I have is on in the personnel supplement on fleet manager. And last year, the fleet manager's salary was at $72,201. This year, you're budgeting $84,076. the 2.75 would bring them up to 70, or she would bring them up to 74,186. What's the reason for the differential?
You're correct. So our fleet manager started with us 4 years ago, in May of 2019. He has never received a step increase. So he has been operating as basically the first step. When we noticed this, we brought it up as part of this budget process, and the administration immediately said, yes, he should be at his proper step, which would be step three. So during that time frame, he also lost out on two raises at 2.75% that were withheld from him. So he got elevated 3 months ago to that top step. No back pay was issued to him, so he was just put up to that top step plus the 2.75% for the next fiscal year.
Is this individual, I think I'm using the right term, a classified employee? In other words, he's is not, this individual a member of the union?
He is not.
So being a non-member of the union doesn't necessarily qualify an individual for step increases, contractual requirements, et cetera, right?
Not necessarily, but these were things that he has been promised way back from 2019 that prior administrations didn't fulfill.
That did not fulfill?
Correct. And that's why he stayed at that bottom level step.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions on the police department budget from members of the council? Councilman Foley.
Just a quick one. On the lateral transfer, if we, I know I spoke to the officer earlier tonight. He was in Narragansett. He transferred a lateral transfer here. So does that save us money in training?
It does, because they do not have to go to the police academy if they're an in-state transfer. So it does save us some money up front, you know, on uniform costs for them, for the training that they have to go through the academy. They also go through an accelerated training program once they actually get to our department. So that cuts back a little bit on the overtime as well. And it saves us overtime in general, just because we now have an officer that basically within 6 weeks can be on the road, ready to go, filling in those holes, and we're not having to force officers into other overtime positions.
So I'm being a little cute here. So how many have we stolen from sister organizations or brother organizations in the state in the last year?
We've received our fair share.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I'm just looking at the gasoline budget, line item 30 to 20 on page 25. So, and I know that these numbers that are in the binder were published quite a while ago. How does it look for us staying on track for that 2023 projection of the 415,000 dollars for the year for gasoline?
We're basically right on track with that right now. I've been tracking fuel for the last year, and the last 6-7 months it's been fairly consistent, right around say $2.50 that we pay, plus there's the taxes and increments. So basically our cost has been about $2.89. So we've been averaging about 120,000 gallons a year for gas, and that's where those numbers came up.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Oh, Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. Yes, Commander. On number 3208, BCI supplies, it went up a lot. What's the reason?
Yeah, so right now we have two interview rooms, and they're old. They're not soundproofed. There's new requirements in state law for capital offenses that all those type of interview crimes need to be video recorded, audio recorded. In our building, sound travels pretty well through the halls. So we've run into some problems where, you know, if the interview is taking place, you can actually hear conversations throughout the building being picked up on these microphones and on the video. So we're in the process right now of soundproofing one of our interview rooms. We have to do the other one, and that's about a $10,000 expense. And then we are short right now on gun lockers, so we need to make a couple purchases for gun lockers. So that's the additional funding that we put into that budget code for this fiscal year.
Oh, and the other one I have is 332 community police events. That seemed to have gone way down to 10,000.
Yeah, so this budget item used to fund our mental health clinician. We've now used money from an opioid settlement to pay for that clinician, so we're all set in that regards. So we decided, instead of zeroing out that budget, to keep some money in it based on all the city events that we've been having. We average probably about 8 different events now, very successful ones at Rocky Point. These things cost money. We're looking to try to offset some of the costs for other city agencies, whether it's lighting, porta potties, whatever it might be, so we can chip in and not take out of their budget.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. I had just 2 to go through. Under telephone, there's a fairly significant reduction there. What did we, where did that come from?
Yeah, so if you recall, we had our radio infrastructure project. So we were paying Verizon a substantial amount of money each month to stay on their copper lines. And luckily right now we've come off of that. So that's why that budget item has dropped dramatically.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's good. And that was grant funded or Fed funded? I forget.
ARPA money for that one.
ARPA money. Yeah,
$1.2 million.
All right. The other one is, and if, I apologize if you covered this already, but the holiday reimbursement jumped almost 200 grand from the year prior, or from projected for this year.
Yeah, so our officers are entitled, we have 14 holidays a year. They can either take overtime cost or comp time in lieu of that overtime. So what we did to try to figure out a average number is if that every single officer took overtime, that amount of money would be $973,754. And if they just took the officers taking it now that are currently taking pay, because some do take comp time, that number is $593,480. So we took the average of that, and that's where we ended up.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That makes sense. I think I could flip to the personnel supplement, but the did you cover dispatchers already?
How I covered it, that we're down one dispatcher right now that we're trying to fill.
That the line item for salaries, dispatchers, it's about the same budget as, oh, okay, so you're down one, so the 2023 projection is due to unfilled headcount, and 2024 you're budgeting essentially be back up at full staff.
Correct.
Okay. All right, that's all I got. Thank you.
Questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on the police department budget? Hearing none, we'll move to organized crime and drug enforcement, and that it can be found on page 27. Commander, are there any questions on the organized crime and drug enforcement budget?